Morning. Man, deja vu. Yeah, well, it is good to be back. I just finished a 13-month pastoral interim in Bend, Oregon, a little cooler there. It was very challenging, one of the more challenging churches that I've been to in helping churches out. We had a school, there were about 36 full-time staff. I had an associate pastor, and that's a whole different ball of wax. And so anyway, but it was a good year. We got through it, and they are just about to get ready to call a pastor, so I left. When they get ready to, I'm like John the Baptist, you know, I prepare the way. And when I see something coming, I say, okay, I'm done. And but it was a very gracious church, a lot of talent in that church. It was unbelievable. As a matter of fact, I had the past president of Concordia University in that congregation, Ray Holm, who was the president of Concordia in Irvine. I had three retired pastors, an associate pastor, a couple of professors, a couple of retired district officers. So it was kind of a lot of pressure there, you know, when you have all these. But it was fun. I enjoyed it very much. And I sure enjoyed being in Israel with some of the members here. Chris went. We had a great time, you know. And by the way, I'm going again in 2021 of October, or in February. And this time, you can either fly from L.A. or New York. So you have your choice. And it's Turkish Airlines, which is one of my favorite airlines, because I've flown it before, and anything but LL, it was miserable. But we had a great time there. Anyway, it's good to be back, and my wife brings her greetings, and the family. My daughter now is living in L.A. I'm nervous about that, but she seems to be doing okay. And she might be here next weekend. She was going to be here this weekend, but she got a gig. Anytime she gets a gig, she's gone, because she has to work when there's availability. So she's in the film industry, if you didn't know. She just got through helping to assistant producer, or not assistant, the lowest on the totem pole, whatever that's called, for Hell's Kitchen. It was filmed in Las Vegas. And so she worked on that series, or whatever it's called, for about 3 months. And so that was really fun for her. So she's getting experience. Well, you know, I want to talk to you today about prayer, but I want to talk to you in terms of when God says no. You know, for the last 6 months or so, my mother has been in a lot of pain. You know, when I would fly back to Las Vegas about every month to visit my wife and to visit my parents who are in assisted living. And my mom, every time I would go, she would be in pain. And I prayed. Every time I went, I gave him communion, and I prayed and prayed. I said, Lord, don't let my mom have this pain. It's really rough on her. And you know, the Lord answered that prayer. She's in heaven now. And I was able to preach at her funeral last month, about 5 weeks ago. I preached at the funeral. I didn't think, my one thing that my mom would always say to me is, I want to go to heaven, and I want you to do the service. And I said, Ma, I don't know. That's awful rough on me, you know, to do the sermon at my mom's funeral. But I did, and it went better than I ever expected. I was able to make it through, and it was really nice. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me, and I will answer you, and tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. You know, sometimes when we pray, I was hoping that my mom would begin to feel better and come back, but the Lord answered that prayer in a different way. He said, no, I'm not going to do it that way, but I'm going to take her to heaven, which was great, you know, I mean, it's great for her. It was sad for us and my dad, but she's no longer in pain, and that's the way the Lord answered that prayer. Sometimes the Lord says no to us, but Jeremiah says, call to me and I will answer you. That's what God says to us. Call to me and I will answer you. The prophet does not say God might answer your prayer. He doesn't say their chances are good that God will answer that prayer. No, God says through Jeremiah, I will answer your prayer, period. I will answer your prayer, period. Now, he may not answer it the way that you want it answered. I have to say that. You know, in fact, God may even, as I said, say no to you. But we shouldn't be surprised when God says no, because God said no to a lot of people in the Bible. He said no to a lot of great women and men of faith. For example, God said no to Abraham. He said no to Moses. He said no to Daniel. He said no to Job. He said no to Jonah. He said no to Elijah. He said no to Peter. And he said no to Paul, the apostle. So don't be surprised in your life when God says no. God even said no to his own son, Jesus. And this is what makes prayer so difficult and confusing for some people. The times that God says no. In my 40 years of ministry in the church, I have seen people leave because they get angry at God because of what something happened. A child died, or they're mad at God for this happening or that happening, or they'll say, I prayed and God didn't answer my prayer. And so what happens is they end up leaving the church over it, and they get mad at God. And that's what makes prayer confusing. You pray for someone to get well, and that person ends up dying. Why is that? Why do some people get relief from their pain and others not after prayer? Why do some couples who pray to have a child for years, and I have couples in my own family that have been praying to have a child, and they just haven't been able to have one. They've gone through all the steps, but they haven't had a child, and yet some couples pray and they do have a child. Those are the questions that we ask of God, because God sometimes doesn't work in the way that we want him to work, even when we pray. It's kind of like my wife's homemade silver cake. Now, it's not silver, it's just a vanilla cake. I don't know why it's called silver cake. But I've watched her make it, and she has all these ingredients, homemade, you know, flour and Wesson oil and vanilla and sugar and whatever else. But, you know, each of those individual ingredients, if you ate one at a time, like if you ate flour, ugh. Or if you ate sugar, huh. Or if you drank some Wesson oil, blah. All those individual ingredients taste terrible, and you would never eat them individually. But somehow, you put all these ingredients together, and wow, you have a delicious cake in the end. Sometimes that's the way that God works. There are individual events in our lives that don't make sense, that are hard to take, that taste terrible. But in the end, God knows what he's doing, and what you have in the end is this beautiful homemade silver cake. You have heaven. And that's the way that we have to remember in the way that God works. Sometimes in our individual prayers, he'll say no. But in the end, it always turns out right. It always turns out good. Some reasons for God saying no to us are very obvious. It's pretty clear. Like if a person is praying for their particular candidate to win an election, and another person is praying for the other candidate to win an election, God, I guarantee you, cannot answer both prayers. He'll say no to one and maybe yes to another. Both cannot win. Another obvious reason God has a reason for saying no has to do with our free will. In most cases, God will not force people to do something that they don't want to do because we have a free will. Like if someone comes up to me and says, I'm in love with your daughter, I'm going to pray that the Lord will force her to fall in love with me, I'm going to say, that ain't going to happen. That's an obvious no to that answer, to that question. Because that's just not the way it works, because God has given us a free will and he won't force someone to love someone else. It's not going to happen. The Bible says you were not meant to live forever. And when somebody dies, we wonder, why did God allow that to happen? Why did God allow that to happen? And the answer is that our bodies are temporary. They're not going to last, unfortunately. You were not meant to live forever in the body that God gave you. So we should not be shocked when someone, no matter what the age, dies. Because our bodies can get hurt. Our bodies can die. Death can happen anytime, anywhere, to anyone, no matter what the age. And you may not get the reason for the death. Even if it's an accident, especially, you don't get the answer. It just doesn't seem right, though. But it happens. And when it does happen, it makes no sense. Especially when a child dies. Sometimes when God says no, it will become the greatest test of our faith. Especially when the death is unexpected or accidental. Sometimes the death of a child especially seems unbearable. But accidents and death does happen and will continue to happen as long as we are in these bodies. But let me give you a few reasons why sometimes God will say no. Now, there could be thousands of reasons, legitimate reasons, for God to say no to your prayer. I'm going to narrow it down for you today to three. Three reasons why God sometimes says no. Now, it's very important, before I go continue, now listen carefully, it's very important that you use these reasons to comfort yourself only. Don't use these reasons on someone else. Never use them when someone else is suffering, because in the end, you really do not know the specific reason why God said no. Also, you need to understand this, and I'll give you an example. If my wife, who I will be celebrating 41 years of marriage next month, but if my wife were to die today, and I knew the specific reason why God took her, why she died, it would not make my life any easier. It would not make my life any easier. It still would be painful no matter what, even if I knew the reason. Sometimes we think that if we could just understand why this tragedy happened, it would make that tragedy less painful. But it won't. It doesn't. I still would suffer at the loss of my wife. I've been married to her for 41 years. Even Jesus from the cross asked a question and got no answer. My God, why have you forsaken? Sometimes when we're comforting a friend who has lost a loved one, it's best just to keep your mouth shut and not say anything. Even the words, well, God must have had a reason to take her, are not the words that your friend needs to hear. Sometimes we just need to exercise the ministry of presence, just being there, listening. It was when Job's friends, who were trying to comfort him in all his pain, when they were trying to comfort Job, it's when they opened their mouths that things began to go south. The moment they opened their mouths, then things went the wrong way. The book of Job says, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my anger burns against you, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. And also, you need to remember that it's okay to complain against God when something in your life goes wrong or when you're in pain. It's okay to complain. God's judgment is what I want to just mention here. Because sometimes we try to give an explanation for why people are suffering by using this idea that it's God's judgment. And it may be true that God is truly judging America, and he has every right to judge America. But the one thing you always need to remember when it comes to judging others is that judgment, according to scriptures, always begins with the church. So before you judge those outside the church, better take a good look at the church, because that's where judgment will begin. 1 Peter 4:17. For it is a time of judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Judgment begins with the household of faith. So be careful when judging those outside the church. So, here are three possible reasons as to why God says no despite our prayer. First, God has a bigger perspective. Always has a bigger perspective. God can see what you cannot see. God sees the whole picture. You don't. God is not connected to any timeline. We are in this timeline where one moment passes and I have to go on to the next moment. I can't go backwards. I can't go outside the timeline, and I can't go too far in the timeline. I can only go one moment at a time. I am connected to that timeline. I can't get away from it. God can. He knows. He can be in the place 1,000 years ago, or he can be in a place 1,000 years from now. There is no timeline. So God sees a better picture than we do. He sees the whole picture. Hebrews 4:13. And there is no creation hidden in his sight, but all things are naked and have been laid open to his eyes, to whom the account will be given by us. I can't remember the name of that movie. Jim Carrey and Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman was God, and he came to Jim Carrey and said, "You're taking over." You remember that movie? What? Bruce Almighty. Thank you. Bruce Almighty. The one part that really interested me, and I thought, wow, was when he keeps hearing these prayers, people from around the world going into his ears, you know, in his mind. He can't get away from it. You know, it's just constant. So finally, he just gets on a computer, and just with one swap of the computer, answers yes to every single person. And you know what happened? It was complete chaos. A bunch of people had entered the lottery, and it was up to like billions, millions, millions of dollars, but everybody won, so everybody got $1. Because he was praying that they would win the lottery. You can imagine the chaos that ensued. It was on national news and so forth. Proverbs 2:8 says, "He guards the paths of justice and is watching over the way of his saints." Daniel prays, "God, keep me out of the lion's den." Did God answer that prayer? No, he did not. He did not answer that prayer. He said no to Daniel, and he puts Daniel in the lion's den, but shuts the mouths of the lions. Bigger story, better results, bigger miracle. God knows what he's doing. The three Hebrew men defied the king, refusing to bow down to him and worship their God, their false God. They refused to obey, and they prayed, "God, keep us out of the fiery furnace." God said no. They walk into the fiery furnace, but God walks with them, and they do not burn. Bigger story, bigger miracle. You may pray, "God, don't let me go through this fiery trial with cancer. I've just been diagnosed." God says no. But know this, God says, "I will walk with you and I will be there waiting for you on the other side." Because God always has a bigger perspective than any one of us, as he did with my mother. Second, when God says no, he has a better plan. He has a better plan. In Hebrews 11, there's a whole list of heroes of the faith. You've read them. Heroes of the faith who did not receive what God had promised them. They were told no by God. Was it because they did not have enough faith? That's what you hear on TV. You have to have a little bit of faith. It's because of your faith that you're not seeing answered prayer, we hear. There is a word for that. The word is what you get when you cross a crocodile with an abalone. It's a crocobalone. Lots of great people of faith in the Bible did not get what they asked for. Some people, after Jesus would travel through a village or a town and he would heal people, but you know, not everybody was healed. Not everybody was rich. No, not everybody was blessed. Not all the prayers were answered. And I can guarantee you this, 100% of the people that Jesus healed, 100% end up dying anyway. We need to remember that. We need to remember that. Many stayed sick. Hebrews 11:39-40 says, "And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, that apart from us they should not be made perfect." Remember, God has all eternity to fulfill all his promises. He is not on a timeline like we are. Lastly, God always has a greater purpose. I think I told this a long time ago when I was the interim here, but how when I went to seminary, in the third year of seminary, you go out on vicarage, it's called, for it's just a year of spending time under the tutelage of a pastor, and I went to Texas, and it was the year from hell for me, because I just, this was a very, you know, Texas, you know, it's a whole different country. You know, and it was very conservative, and I just don't do in the traditional conservative church. This was very traditional. I mean, one Sunday, the pastor came, called me in his office because my wife wore pants to church, and these people are wearing shorts. Man, you know, I mean, it was a tough year. And, you know, and I can't tell you the number of times that I thought, man, I just don't know if this is for me. I just don't know. I even applied for the Houston Sheriff Deputy because of my undergraduate degree is criminal justice. I thought, well, but my wife kept telling me, no, you got to keep going. But I had a secretary in that church that was a big supporter, and she felt for me, and she says, "Toby, I know that you have those gifts that you need to continue to finish this year." Well, I ended up flunking that year, the pastor, because of, I'm not going to go into it, but he ended up flunking me, and so I had to go back to seminary and then do another year of vicarage, which was the best year of my life. It was just the opposite. It was in Connecticut. You know, I got out of Texas. I love Texas, don't get me wrong. But I often, it was one of those years where I would often say, why did God allow this to happen to me? You know, it was just so horrible. My wife and I put so much pressure on our marriage. We'd only been married for 1 year. We had to go to a marriage counselor, and we go to the first session with the marriage counselor, and he says, "You got to get a divorce. You guys aren't meant together." I mean, when a marriage counselor tells you that, you know there's something going on here. Man, it was a horrible year. But God always has his way of doing things, because I now, as I look back on it years later, it was the great year of my life because I learned so much, and it was through that struggle that God really taught me. You know what happened 2 weeks ago? You're not going to believe this. I got a phone call from the church that I did this in, that I flunked. And they want me to come out and speak at the secretary's retirement party. And guess who's on the pastor who I was under, that I didn't get along with, he's at the same table as I am. That is unbelievable. God knows what he's doing, so I'm just going to go up to him. I wouldn't have done this back then, but I'm going to go up to him, I'm going to shake his hand, I'm going to say thank you because you made me a better pastor because of all this struggle I had to do that 1 year. That is absolutely amazing. So if any of you are discouraged right now because of something that's happened in your life, maybe it's unanswered prayer, remember Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And always remember this, especially when you're struggling with God's no. God does everything in goodness and in love. There is not one thing that God does in your life that is not. God will never do evil against you. He always works in perfect goodness and in love, and we need to trust him. Psalm 25:10 says, "All the ways of the Lord are loving. All the ways of the Lord are loving." You don't have to understand everything. And remember, Jesus' last prayer before going to the cross, he said, and going a little further, he fell on the ground and he prayed, if it were possible, that this hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Abba, Father, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." That's the way we should pray. So when you pray, always affirm God's power. Ask with passion. Accept God's plan. And then always expect God to give you his grace to handle the answer, because you'll need it sometimes, as he did the Apostle Paul, who prayed and prayed, and God simply said, "My grace is sufficient for you," period. You know, I'll finish with this. You know, a group of us here and others went to Israel in November, and it was a great trip, but the plane ride is not fun. I mean, I'm a big guy, and I was sitting way in the back, economy section. My knees were killing me. It was horrible. But you know what I kept thinking about? I kept thinking about, I'm going to be in Israel pretty soon. I'm going to be in the places where Jesus walked. I'm going to see Mount Carmel. I'm going to be in Jerusalem. And just those thoughts, continuous thoughts of thinking ahead of why I'm here and what I'm doing and what the future looks like, gave me the strength to stay on that plane and just make it. Because once you're there, it's a wonderful time. And that's the way life should be. You might be struggling now, and it may be uncomfortable right now, and you may be thinking, "Oh man, I don't know how much I can go." But keep your eyes on heaven. Keep your eyes on the cross, because a paradise is waiting. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're going to have a closing song right now. And during the song, if any